KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right, welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
He's back!
I'm back!
And...
And Jason.
He's back, too!
I'm still here! I've been stuck in the radio station for an entire week.
Oh my. That sounds like a...
I've been hiding behind the records.
Feet.
I apologize for my smell.
Did you scare any of the other DJs?
No, I tried to remain hidden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I did pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, this
no one seemed to say anything, so
yeah.
It's not a very big studio, so that's
nice
pretty.
And, yeah, it's nice and quiet at night. So
lots of music
slept
to listen
well.
To.
That's true. You do have lots of music to listen to and access to the internet. So.
Mm-hmm. What more do you need?
Exactly.
Not much.
Not much.
not food, surely.
What? What is the sacrilege of what you speak?
You just dig up a little bit of the carpet and just kind of nibble on that.
That's true. We're not going to go any farther with that.
Very good. All right, if you're unfamiliar with our show, we are a geek-centric talk show. We talk about tech news, entertainment news, comic books, video games, movies, all of that jazz. We try to hit a little bit of everything. And speaking of hitting a little bit of everything, we like to start off the show with some new releases.
Woohoo!
So I'm going to tell you some coming out in the theater this week. Now, it's no, like, last week was, it was pretty big last week. Remember, Jason, all those huge, giant films that came out last week?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you do.
Shows how big they were.
I don't. And I'm the one who reports on them. So, okay, this week we have Child 44. Set in Stalin-era Soviet Union, a disgraced MGB agent is dispatched to investigate a series of child murders, a case that begins to connect with the very top of party leadership.
Dun, dun, dun.
Probably not a family film. But this one is a family film. Monkey Kingdom. Maya's world is forever changed when she welcomes her son, Kip, into her complicated extended family. Like all families, Maya's has more than its share of colorful personalities, and she's determined to give her son a leg up on the social ladder. When their longtime home at Castle Rock is taken over by powerful neighboring monkeys, Maya's whole family is forced to relocate, and she uses her street smarts and ingenuity to lead them to untapped resources amidst strange new creatures and unsettling surroundings.
Sounds like mm-hmm. Land Before Time, Monkey Edition, or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I know.
Or Dinosaur, the movie with real-life characters.
There you go.
That's true. Yeah, it's one of those like live-action... I believe it's Disney.
Oh, Disney Nature?
Yeah, Disney Nature. Okay. I take it back. I forgot about this gigantic, huge blockbuster that's coming out this week. And
drop it on us.
I apologize, Caleb, because I think this one was on your top 10.
Hmm.
Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
No, that was my top 10.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I get it confused sometimes. Security guard Paul Blart heads to Las Vegas to attend a security guard expo with his teenage daughter, Maya. Before she departs for college. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think, do I want to say anything? Nah.
There's a lot of Mayas in the world.
That's true. There's Maya in Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
Before she parts for college, while at the convention, he inadvertently discovers a heist, and it's up to Blart to apprehend the criminals. Oh, of course it is. And then we
what
have...
What could possibly go wrong?
What? You act like he's not up to the task.
Hey, you know, I shouldn't judge.
People can throw down, dang it.
I wasn't referring
especially,
to that at all.
Especially when they have segues to roll around
that's
on.
True. That's true. So. That's true. That's true. Now, this next one might be up Jason's alley a little bit more.
Right.
On a more serious note, because it's a horror film.
Ooh.
Jason likes his horror films.
He does.
Unfriended. While video chatting one night, six high school friends receive a Skype message from a classmate who killed herself exactly 1 year ago. At first, they think it's a prank, but when the girl starts revealing the friend's darkest secrets, they realize they are dealing with something out of this world. Something that wants them dead.
Yeah, I have to admit I'm interested. It's a little bit too Facebook-y, for lack of a better word, but yeah.
No.
I'm interested.
So there you go.
You got me unfriended.
Wait, I don't think that's good.
Hey, things that aren't confusingly stated is the movies you might want to check out on Blu-ray or DVD.
Yes.
How about Tim Burton's latest creation, Big Eyes?
Nah.
Based on the true story of Walter Keane, K-E-A-N-E, who was one of the most successful painters in the 1950s and early 60s. He gained notoriety for his paintings of... I'll just use the quote here because it's pretty good. Enigmatic paintings of waifs with big eyes.
I think waifs is a little bit harsh, but continue.
The truth that is revealed is that it was not so much Keane that did the paintings, but his wife.
Boom, boom, boom.
Spoilers.
So
the end.
This one sort of chronicles the unraveling of the relationship, as well as the sort of what happens when someone takes credit for someone else's work.
No, that's why a recipe for a successful relationship right there.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. Wait. Right. Anyways, in a totally different direction is Antarctica, A Year on the Ice, a visually stunning journey into the world that is hardly... a visually stunning journey to the end of the world where the hardy and devoted people who live year-round... at research stations and other such scientific endeavors around continent.
Is that like the monkey thing, or is that animated?
No, this is a live action production.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
So it examines the mentality and the kind of people that both brave and survive the cold and the dark. And the harshness that is the environment of Antarctica.
So the girl from Brave, isn't it? No.
Moving right along, going a totally different direction again, is Batman versus Robin. Yes, there's
with
a versus.
Eyes.
And well, maybe. It's animated, so it could be.
Yes, animated, finally.
Direct-to-video movie, which is DC's doing a lot of these days,
and very well too.
Yes,
from everything that I have heard, I wouldn't watch one.
I've seen a few. They're not
because they're animated.
They're quite good. No, quiet show. In this story, Batman is finding himself under attack from his own son, Damian, and while he suspects the hand of Ra's al Ghul behind the treachery, then he comes to find out that it is the boy who is being controlled by the notorious Court of Owls. And then we're changing gears yet again, because there's nothing short of interesting stuff that drops on a video. It's The Man with the Iron Fists 2, unrated.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, or maybe
I
just
didn't
2.
Really?
Apparently.
How did I miss that?
Yep.
Does it have any... Who's in it?
RZA, obviously.
What?
And then the rest of the cast are names I don't actually recognize off the top of my head. I'm sure
probably wouldn't recognize most of the original.
Yeah, it's I would say star-studded, but that wouldn't be right. Another action adventure featuring RZA and his tribute to kung fu classics of the past.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
Did Russell Crowe survive in the first one?
I can't remember.
I know, I can't remember either.
I meant to buy that movie and it never happened. Somehow, like, external forces prevented me from purchasing it. There was much kung fu involved.
And possibly bad dubbing. For those who are fans of the classics. To round out this week's DVDs and Blu-ray selections is Woman in Black 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As the bombs rain down over London during the Blitz of World War II, a group of children are evacuated with their...
The Blitz!
their teacher, Eve, to the English countryside, where they are taken to an old, empty estate, cut off from the mainland and left... They are left on the Eel Marsh House.
Huh.
When one of them begins...
That sounds like a pleasant place already.
When one of the kids begins to act strangely, and Eve, with the help of a local American commander, discovers a group that have awakened a dark force even more terrifying and evil than the city's air raids. Eve must now confront her own demons and save the children from the wrath of the woman in black. So there you go. Both of our lists rounded out with a horror film, so that there's a continuity.
Yeah.
April.
Mm-hmm.
The
month for...
Month for showers and poor movies.
Yes.
I guess.
Something like that.
Well, meanwhile, in video games, we have plenty of non-horror-type things.
Yay!
To start out, we have a little game that could call Titan Souls. It actually looks really unique to me in that it's playing off of something that has been made before. it's drawing heavily off of the original Legend of Zelda style, and it just absolutely drips it from every angle, but it has some pretty interesting little tweaks to it. You're basically just a little barefoot dude with a single arrow, and you're fighting nothing but boss fights.
Whoa.
Yeah. It actually, I've seen a little bit of gameplay of it, and it looks really good. It looks interesting.
Check it out.
Also, in the vein of trying to explore your memories and looking for ways to cash in on that, is Avernum 2 Crystal Souls. It's a continuing storyline of the original in its now patented 16-bit style. This one has the art of classic fantasy artist Phil Foligo or Foglio. Anyway.
Okay. Wait, one more time? What was it?
Phil Foglio, the classic fantasy artist,
lends
his hand to this fine game.
He is also the late writer and artist, or one of the writers and the artist for the Grill Genius comic books.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with them at all, but they sound genius, so.
They're pretty good.
Okay.
He's won 3 Nebula Awards.
That sounds fairly good.
Mm-hmm. Just making all this stuff up.
I need to pay attention to these names that I just completely made up in the future. Anyway, in other news that's not made up whatsoever, Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, gets yet another release date. It's finally coming to the PS3. No, I'm sorry, next gen or current gen people. Current gen people. You do not get it yet. But the PS3 has been graced with its gifts. And I should cue a little bit of music for this.
Here it comes.
Because a classic game is coming back. Anyway, Mortal Kombat X or 10, X10, 10X. Mortal Kombat is back again. The Versus Fighting Gore Fest is back. And it's time to start learning those fatalities again.
High punch, low punch, high punch, low punch.
Pretty much all of your fan favorites are coming back. Not distracted at all.
You can do it.
All the kung fu going on in this room. Yeah, basically all of the fan favorites are coming back with some new additions, including my favorite personal addition to the character roster. The Predator is going to be making a showing as DLC. I don't know if it's right off the bat, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's part of, like, the season pass or something like that.
Okay.
Speaking of part of the season pass and to go back to horror.
Yes.
So is Jason.
That's true.
Friday the 13th.
That's true. The Borg Man. With ease. Yes. The Borg... Yeah. That guy. Has a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
Hangs around...
bladed weapon.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
Hangs around lakes.
A lot. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's part of his thing.
Gets teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stops them from doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a public service.
That's right. Speaking of public services, do you want to listen to KCU even when you're not near a radio? You can stream us whenever you want at KCU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. Pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU.
Why?
Because 103.3 FM is not unique across the globe, but KSCU is.
Nice.
I'm just going to start up a radio station in Peru named KSU, just confound people.
That would be...
It's what I'm going to do.
Quite the confoundance.
KSU, Peru.
Shots fired.
Yeah. So, not relating to almost any of that is comic books, because they're fun.
Do you have any comic books that take place in Peru?
Well, there is
start
one.
Start with a letter K.
There is one happening in Costa Rica, which is near Peru, and it is involving the Predator.
Oh, okay.
Ah, the Predator. See, that's mm-hmm. where it was connected.
Okay, yeah.
We'll connect through Predator and start with Archie versus the Predator, number one.
Of course. Well, man, Archie is all over the place these days. He's
He's
the demand.
Busy guy.
Busy guy. Yeah, he's him and his friends are vacationing in Costa Rica. They come up against the galaxy's greatest trophy hunter.
They should put Archie in Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That would be quite the visual.
I think there. Betty and Veronica, too. Oh, Jughead.
Well, yeah, they could be like fatalities. Like, he calls them in, and then they, like, do stuff.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
To take out the people
Jughead
you're fighting.
Jughead could throw, like, that little crown thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would make, like a perfectly carved hole through somebody. Yeah. Yeah.
Comes back as a hamburger or something like that.
Yep.
Meanwhile, over at DC, it's Convergence, number two. Despite the success of the quote-unquote new 52, they are dragging back in, but at the same time, the history of DC is deep and rich, so they are bringing back into the current continuity the original continuity.
The old 52.
The DC universe, which... Like,
continuity verse is converging each other.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. sounds aptly named now.
Mm-hmm. I would say across town, but DC's moving to LA or Burbank, so Marvel is over still in New York City. So across the country in Marvel, it's Thor.
Trying to escape the stank of Marvel.
Yeah. That horrible, horrible stank of all that money.
I know.
Thor number seven is dropping, and so begins a great battle for the Hammer of Thor. And is that the Destroyer on the horizon? Sparks will fly!
Okay.
Verily, I say. I already covered Dark Horse because they're doing Archie and Predator. So run over to Image, which is, I think, also in Southern California. With Run, Love, Kill. It's all smashed together.
Okay.
One word.
Like Camel in Gnomish.
Kind of.
Okay.
Rain Oshiro is a wanted woman. Her past as an assassin has made her a target number one.
Ooh,
and now
yeah.
she is in the final fight for her freedom, and she must escape a locked down city and the
Ooh.
Army that wants her for themselves
Ooh.
Or dead.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot.
And then...
a lot of options.
Yeah. And then over at Valiant, it's Bloodshot Reborn, number one. Through a series of mistakes and failure... Amy series of mistakes and failures has shaken the confidence of the Eternal Warrior, and now he has placed himself in exile. But the world and the darkness that can cover it does not stop, and his skills will be called upon again!
Again! He thought he was out, and they pulled him back in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Convergence.
and John Wick.
Very true. All right, and I will round us out with some new music. Got a new album from Polar Bear, called Same As You. It's the sixth full-length release for the British experimental jazz band by Seb Rochford. It was produced by Ken Bernitos. We have a new album from Gallows, Desolation Sounds. It's the fourth full-length release for the British hardcore band. It is its first without Steph Carter, who left in 2013 for his own band, Ghost Riders in the Sky. There's a new Wombats album, Glitterbug. The third full-length studio release for the British indie rock band was inspired by trips to Los Angeles. And finally,
that'll do it.
And finally, we have Villagers with Darling Arithmetic. It's the third full-length release for the Connor O'Brien solo project, was self-recorded and produced at home. So there you go. Sampling of a bunch of new releases that are dropping this week.
And a reminder that you too can do this at home. And it's about the skill you bring, not so much the record company that takes your money.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about, like, you two at home can search for new releases.
Yes,
they can.
Why? I just told everybody about
People can make their own music as well, is all I'm saying.
That's true. It's true. Very true. Well, we could.
Mm-hmm.
Because do any of us know how to play an instrument?
I don't fail out at the a rock band guitar.
This is a bunch of clicks. Click, 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 record, clicking.
Something like that.
Yeah. Alrighty, that's going to do it for the new releases. We're going to take a music break and then come back with the news. But of course, because we are a Geek Center talk show, we like to talk. We love to hear what you have to say. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, well, let me grab my phone. No, put your phone down. Unless that phone is a smartphone.
And you're safely parked someplace where you can use it or give it to your co-pilot. But if you go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, you can hit us up there, comment. We will see it. We will comment back and also like give you a shout out over the air. It'll be awesome. And you can also do that on Twitter, which is twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are live and active in the backgrounds of our computers. We will keep an eye on them throughout the show.
Please.
Or if you're concerned about your anonymity, you can just write anonymous at the end of your message, and we won't tell anybody who you are.
That's true. If you don't want us to say your name, mm-hmm. we won't.
That's just one of the many services we offer you here at Robots Tech.
Yeah. Right. That's a new one. I just added that one.
And of course, I can't. Did you mention the email as well?
Oh, yeah.
Old school email?
Old school email, which is robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
All right, let's tease the folks some news before we get to that break.
More casting news from Apocalypse. Who will play Psylocke?
What? Oh, man, last week I talked about Jubilee, so now it's Psylocke.
Exactly.
Nice. That movie's getting a lot of X-Men slash women.
Yes.
X-persons.
X-persons.
X-people.
they're not people anymore. Wait, no, that's not what it's about.
No.
Current X-people.
How about this? A major victory in the battle against pet squatters. Or non-practicing entities,
dirty.
As they prefer to be known.
All right. Well, we're going to hit that and more. When we get back from the music break here on KSU Santa Clara, more Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. We are in the news, and welcome back to KSU Santa Clara. This is Robots Attack. And speaking of, it's sort of news in the form of a PSA. San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join him at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for him on Facebook. All right. Who's got our first story?
Okay, I'll start it off. Psylocke in the new X-Men Apocalypse movie has been finally cast, and the person who has been cast for it has actually a ton of experience wearing superhero costumes, as weird as that may sound, since a lot of you haven't heard of her, possibly. Her name is Olivia Munn. If you're not familiar with her from probably her two big things, Attack of the Show and The Newsroom, then maybe you saw her for a split second in Iron Man 2. She was one of the reporters, like, introducing the big hoopla that happens at the very beginning. I've always been a personal fan of hers. I think she'll probably knock it out of the park. And she's had a bunch of other small roles that I think fit nicely with this sort of thing. But it does require more seriousness than I've seen from her in a long time also. So that's probably gets into the territory of Newsroom that I haven't seen. So.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh, okay. Yeah, she's pretty serious on that show. I mean, she's also funny too, but her character is definitely more like, I don't want to say deadpan, but yeah. Okay. It's not like Attack of the Show or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which was very over the top.
But yeah, I'm really interested to see how that's going to turn out, and I'm very interested to see the costume. No particular reason why.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, geez, I had no idea that they were going to have that character in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how big of a role. Like I mentioned, or maybe not on air or not, but last week, reported Jubilee is going to be in it. So it's like they just keep... Ooh, jam pack full of mutants.
And the rumor right now also is that Tom Hardy has been cast as Angel in it. And it's going to be Archangel.
So it's going to be one of the Horsemen of Apocalypse. Interesting, interesting.
Yeah. Sort of fits. It's an Apocalypse movie and whatnot. But
not going to get the same guy from... The third X-Men movie.
It doesn't sound that way, at least not with what's circulating right now. But the artwork that's circulating for the Archangel wings is really impressive. It looks really cool.
The design work looks pretty solid. I saw an image. I'm like, oh yeah, that it's not bad.
Yeah,
we should link to that.
Yeah,
with the story. That's cool. Yeah, I because that you kind of need to pull off. That needs to look otherwise. That character is.
Yeah.
It's going to look kind of dumb.
Yeah.
So he's got great big metal wings. That's not going to work. It'll work.
It could all fall apart in the animation process as it's happened before.
Yeah.
But still, it looks pretty cool on paper.
Yeah. And the
e-paper.
In the pixel form, the still frame looks good.
On paper, quote unquote.
Yes. Well, things that also look good on paper are stamps that say invalid. Normally, that would be a bad thing, but in this case, it's a good thing.
Okay.
The Patent and Trademark Office has invalidated claims against the quote-unquote podcasting patent. In case you haven't heard of this or are slightly unfamiliar, a group calling themselves Community Audio, I think? Personal audio.
Okay.
Filed a complaint against a number of small and reasonably well-known podcasters, not the least of which was Adam Carolla.
Huh.
And they assert that they own the patent on podcasting, which is, I think the wording is serialized audio being distributed across a digital means.
Oh.
Which all reeks of, that doesn't sound like very much.
yeah, that's a little weird. Okay.
I might be misquoting the exact text. No.
I'm just saying it sounds weird that somebody's doing that.
They also tried to demand licensing fees of several major television networks for doing effectively what is podcast or live broadcast over the internet. The Personal Audio LLC does not actually create any audio of its own. It just holds patents. They are what is known as a non-practicing entity, or colloquially known and not legally admissible term, patent troll. So they have been trying. They've been trying to exact.
Do patent trolls do a lot of squats? Is that?
They also are known as patent squatters.
Okay.
Which I called them earlier, but neither patent squatter nor patent troll are technically admissible terms. But that
in court.
In court. The EFF, who is where I found the story, which is the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a group that is dedicated to protecting our legal rights in the digital sphere.
Mm-hmm. They should start a university. I'll let that sink in for people. Okay, go ahead.
But as it is now, they have worked diligently and are now reaping the benefits of against this non-practicing entity and their largely bogus patents. If anyone takes the time to use even look over them.
Whoa, largely bogus. How do you know? Have you read them?
I have not read their entirety, no. But I have read enough of them to know this reeks of you did not write this.
Bogus.
Dude.
It totally sounds like a real thing, being able to say, you can't like record things because I own that.
It's the transmission of audio across a digital the internet, which I think is the kicker for a lot of this.
Not allowed to do that either.
Yeah, it's all sorts
of
crazy.
I own the internet.
All of them.
Right. Or at least the right to broadcast across the internet, because I have the powers.
All of them?
Yes. Like half.
Okay, fair enough. Let's not get greedy.
I'm not
here.
A power-hungry man. I just want my troll profits.
All right, well, my story involves a man and a head.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a transplant.
Oh.
Man volunteers for world's first head transplant.
What?
Despite detractors, the patient has faith in his surgeon. A Russian man with a terminal illness is ready to undergo the world's first human head transplant as early as next year. I apologize. I'm probably about to butcher some Russian and some Russian. See, I already starting with the Russian. Valery Spiridonov, a 30-year-old computer scientist from Vladimir, Russia, told the Daily Mail that he has full faith in the controversial Dr. Sergio Canavero, the Italian physician many medical professionals are criticizing for his radical views. Canavero recently said he thinks modern science can support a head transplant procedure and has been working to gather funds and resources. Quote, am I afraid? Spiridonov said. Yes, of course I am, but it is not just very scary, but also very interesting. Spiridonov was born with the rare Wernicke-Hoffmann muscle wasting disease, a severe category of spinal muscular atrophy. He said he wants to take his chance at having a healthy body before he dies. Quote, my decision is final, and I do not plan to change my mind. Spiridonov and Dr. Canavero have spoken over Skype, but have yet to meet each other in person. Despite Canavero's many detractors, Spiridonov said he trusts the physician to carry out the 36-hour operation, which totes an estimated cost of about $11 million.
Wow.
That's no small thing.
But if you have to understand that I don't really have many choices, he says, if I don't try this chance, my fate will be very sad. With every year, my state is getting worse. Wernicke-Hoffmann disease is categorized by muscle weakness and lack of motor development. While more severe cases can often have trouble swallowing or even breathing, for Spiridonov, who was diagnosed at age 1, the disease progresses every day. Quote, I can hardly control my body now, he said. I need help every day, every minute. I am now 30 years old, although people rarely live to more than 20 with this disease. If you want something to be done, you need to participate in it.
Wow, true.
So, man, if this goes through, man, that'll be in the record books. That'll be in the record books.
It will advance science a lot, but it will be some interesting questions that arise from this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think out there? Let us know.
Okay. What are some of your interesting questions about head transplant?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or on Twitter, which is twitter.com/robotsattackme with your thoughts and suggestions.
Because that's where we post links to all of our stories, because a lot of times they'll have either more to the story that we can't go into all the detail, or cool pictures or videos, or videos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've had in the last little while a whole bunch of information drop about Destiny's House of Wolves. If you're familiar with the game and why people are kind of thirsty for information for it, it's mostly because, or if you're not familiar, it's because really early on, some images were released that kind of laid out a strategy for when a bunch of things were going to drop and what sort of things were going to drop with different expansions. And it sounds like Destiny is not going to use a lot of that information and is altering plans drastically, probably thanks to their last DLC that had a lot of issues, but in actually did fix most of them relatively quickly, but still they don't want to create the same problem all over again. So one of the big chunks of news that has dropped about the next expansion that has people all aghast is that it will not have a raid activity at all. And since raids are kind of the big end-all be-all of the game, people are kind of questioning what's going to be filling its place instead. And right now, it actually, this is a quote directly from the fine people at Bungie who create Destiny. House of Wolves will not have a raid activity. We didn't make this decision lightly. Our team has been humbled by the reception of raids in Destiny, and we are creating a new raid for release later this year. House of Wolves will have a new cooperative in-game activity focused on variety, replayability, and skill, a new battle arena called the Prison of Elders. So they're kind of sketchy on what all this is going to actually be. It sounds interesting, and if they think it's going to replace a raid for an entire DLC, they must put a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
So it'll be pretty neat to see what they came up with. The raid that's coming up later is actually creating a lot of extra questions, just because a lot of people have already paid for expansion passes. So nobody knows at this point whether the raid is going to be included with the expansion pass or if it's going to be part of sort of the next round of expansion passes.
Mm.
So as more information comes up about this, we'll keep you apprised.
You think it'll be more story stuff? They're going to throw in a lot more story stuff, you think?
The House of Wolves story stuff actually looks pretty interesting to me. If you have a chance to see the cutscene that they've already released, it's pretty slick. And if you're familiar with the little bits of story that are in the core Destiny game, it ends up putting a pretty interesting twist on how things are unfolding. So it opens up a really big chunk of the known galaxy for you to, or the solar system for you to mess around with.
Ooh.
And, it'll be really interesting to see how the interactions with that chunk of the solar system unfold.
As Destiny players, are you concerned that there's no raid included in this one coming
up? See, me personally, since I don't really have the... You need a group of six people who are really hardcore players and are really well coordinated in order to do a raid.
Okay.
And a lot of people can't really muster that sort of squad. They end up kind of struggling going out onto chat rooms and whatnot, trying to get people together. And a lot of them do have success. And so with that ability, they end up leveling up to the highest level really quickly. I'm not one of those people, and so having a different type of thing that might get me up to that level without having to put together a squad of people that I don't really know, that sounds like it might be kind of a good thing. So it'll be interesting to see how it actually hashes out.
Yeah, personally, I think it's always good to have an alternative way to get to the top of the pile. Like, The raids are awesome. And I think that if you can get your crew together to do it, do it. But for those, yeah, like Jason, like I'm also not one of those that has like a lots of people that I know that are really into Destiny that are on the same platform as I am that I can get together for the raid. Mm-hmm. So it's like having like the raid idea is really cool, but in some ways due to the fragmentation of the console system, it's just a little bit more difficult to get the people together that might be enough to take on the raid in the first place.
Did they ever add like any kind of matchmaking or anything or no?
They did end up they added matchmaking to the next level down. They had sort of daily challenges that it was much higher difficulty for stuff, and people complained that there wasn't good matchmaking for that. So they added it, but they made a lot of people not so happy by making it so it was all or nothing. So now it's just that instead of trying to get people together on their own, which I can understand is probably a chunk of level design or UI design that would be kind of a headache, especially with the way the UI works in that game, just because there is kind of a nice even flow to how all of the stuff like kind of chains together. So trying to squeeze new elements into something like that when you've planned all of this stuff out so far ahead might be kind of a hassle, and maybe that's the main thing that they're dealing with. Yeah, which is unfortunate because they can't effectively create new things on the fly because they've kind of cast the UI in stone in a weird sort of way.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are maybe going, wait, UI? That stands for user interface.
Yeah, how you move things around, how you push buttons.
The icons, where they're placed, what they mean, how you get your commands across to the game itself kind of thing.
Yeah, the unique thing that they did that a lot of games don't mess around with is they made the controller function a lot more like you would use a mouse. And a lot of the time that ends up creating a bunch of hassles that nobody really wants to deal with because you don't have the precision that a mouse has.
Mm.
But they have broad areas where it sort of clicks into stuff. And so because they have to map out these larger areas, it ends up creating future UI change hassles. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. We are in the news. I believe Caleb has our next story.
That's right. So in Destiny, you're exploring you're re-exploring the solar system, and we are exploring it right now with the Chandra X-ray Observatory and the Hubble Space Telescope.
Right now.
Yes, actually right now. And one of the
DC Now.
Oh, stop.
I should have had the Van Halen song.
Is that
song
Marvel
ready.
Now? Which Now was it?
Marvel Now.
Dark Horse Now.
Oh, now.
The Image Now.
Now you can quit that.
Right now.
Comic book companies that I knew anyway.
It's your tomorrow.
So PopCap Games Now.
The main thing that one of the things that researchers have noticed as astrophysicists, astronomers, and all these other people that study the nature of the universe, they found that when you calculate out, I mean, obviously this is math and not actual readings, the mass of the universe, that didn't quite work out. Physics didn't quite work. And so they said, okay, why doesn't, from what we see, why doesn't it work? And so they sat around for a while, got all theoretical and said, okay, there must be matter out in the universe that we cannot see. And because it doesn't reflect light, they call it dark matter.
Man, that's a problem for Missouri because that's the show me state. And they're going to have problems with anybody in Missouri believing in dark matter, unfortunately. They ought to rethink some of this. This theory for Missourians.
And because dark matter is, well, dark, kind of like a black hole is black, and space is rather black, and there's lots of it. How do you find it?
It's like camouflage,
kind of, very much. Ooh. So. So okay. what they do instead is they study where galaxies collide. Because when you have that, you have interactions of both visible matter and obviously dark matter, because it's a situation where you can actually watch interactions on multiple levels. So they have the visual observations from the Hubble telescope, and then they also have the observations of the X-ray emissions from the Chandra X-ray telescope as well.
Okay. So wait a second. Okay. So what you're saying kind of is that you can see it, but you don't know you're seeing it. Is that...
It's kind of like the wind. You can't actually see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind.
Okay.
Ooh.
Can we sprinkle some dust in it? So,
well...
There's like stardust. People are talking about that.
The universe already kind of is doing that, because galaxies are mostly made up of stars, planets, and dust. Tons of dust.
So that's what they're looking out for then.
They're looking at what they can see. And then they also are trying to see where read when particles come into contact, they release energy.
They say hey.
In the form of X-ray energy and other forms of light that are not human eye visible.
Okay.
And from that they can determine, they're beginning to narrow down what dark matter is not.
Okay.
Now, in science terms, that may sound a little strange, but in science terms, that actually gets you that much closer to what you actually are looking for, because you're starting to eliminate all the things that this cannot be.
Yeah.
And so you can
cross off the list.
We're very familiar. If we're trying to figure out what restaurant we're going to, what we're not interested in
is very valuable. Yeah.
Okay. I got you now.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
By removing variables,
inserted a food analogy in.
You go with what you know, right?
Right.
So basically we're getting closer to understanding what dark matter actually is.
Okay.
And that's really exciting, because that means we are actually beginning to understand the universe as a whole even that much more. And this is what the astronomy and science is like. Space science is awesome this way. I understand problems on Earth. Definitely got to take care of those. We also need to, I think it's also important that we fill our minds with the wonder of this, of the universe in which we live.
That's all I'm saying. The wonder of space.
And with the images from the Chandra X-ray and the Hubble telescope, we have lots of really interesting and very valuable imagery and science. Plus, it's very beautiful stuff to inspire us. That's all.
All right. Well, speaking of things that we don't quite understand and don't really make any sense. Rocky Horror Picture Show getting a TV movie remake.
Whoa, yeah.
You mean the fact that it's getting a remake? Because it's so all perfect.
All of it.
In its current incarnation is what you meant, right?
All of it. Fox will be working with the original script. Now, for those who know me out there, are probably like, wow, you're doing this story. That's pretty funny. That was kind of part of it. A 2-hour television movie remake of iconic musical The Rocky Horror Picture Show is in the works at Fox. Entertainment Weekly reports, unlike other recent primetime musicals, The Rocky Horror Picture Show won't be performed live. Fox hopes this will ease the casting process, as in the past, many actors have avoided live musical performances. Fox,
is Susan Sarandon coming back?
Well, Fox will use the original 1973 script by Jim Sharman and Richard O'Brien, with This Is It / High School Musical's Kenny Ortega set to direct, executive produce, and choreograph. The Rocky Horror Picture Show producers, Lou Adler and Gail Birdman, have also signed onto the project. Hey, in related news, Fox will be airing a live 3-hour production of Grease on January 31st, 2016.
Wait, how is that related?
Musicals.
Ugh.
That too.
But to answer your question, I have no idea. Maybe they'll have her like make a cameo as some other thing. But
you know, Grease would be better if it had an undead meatloaf in it. I'm just going to leave that right there.
What if they combined both? They did a crossover also.
Oh, it's too much.
Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror Grease Show.
Rocky Horror Grease Picture Show.
I would still probably not watch it.
Yeah, it's too much grease for me. But hey, what can you do? The grease, it gets everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right.
But like Tim Curry in high heels is pretty awesome. I will give it that.
He can rock them, right?
He definitely commits.
Yes. The Curry.
I'm sure he does.
Anyway, in completely unrelated news.
Oh, man. You couldn't segue from that?
In a weird sort of way, the military is getting a... Google Airstrike Strike Maps app.
There's an app for that?
There is sort of an app for that. Android-powered devices are making their way onto the battlefield. And in a way that is completely straight out of video games. If you're familiar with how to place any sort of bombing raids or whatnot from current Call of Duty incarnations, they basically made that. It's almost exactly the same. They take Google Maps type images and you're able to plot out where you want your airstrikes, what directions they come from, where your current units are so that you don't end up having any problems. The current device is actually called Kill Switch, which is reasonably scary sounding for a little Android device. But yeah, the future is coming to the battlefield en masse, and thanks in no small part to our friends at DARPA.
DARPA, we're bringing good things to experimental science, edge of the world sort of stuff. Kind of cool.
Yeah,
a little scary at the same time.
Basically, it ends up creating a lot more safety for troops to be able to plot these things, because that's always been a major problem with any sort of airstrike call-in, is that if there's any sort of mistake made, that it ends up putting people at risk that you do not want at risk.
Fair enough.
The other side of it is that it streamlines the process so much that you are able to deliver an airstrike on target in about 4 minutes.
Wow.
So you can have an airstrike faster than you can have like a pizza ordered or Chinese food. That's an upgrade
really,
right there.
That's really fast. Dang. Wow. Safety and speed. That's definitely two things you would want, or speed that brings you safety and safety that, never mind. Anyway, that's yes. that's really interesting, huh? So, from tablets that keep you safe on the battlefield to tablets that ease your pain in surgery.
Okay,
we'll go with.
I'm with you.
Recently at a Make event, that's the publication Make, a university project was studying ways to ease pain and decrease the amount of anesthetic drugs needed for children's surgery.
Okay.
And they found that... interestingly enough, it is fairly simple. It's things like teddy bears and games on tablets.
And whiskers on kittens?
I'm sure that there's some of that involved. But the main thing is that they found that by adding a certain level of entertainment and distraction, they could actually reduce the amount of drugs needed to help the kids get through their whatever major surgery they're having. That's and then cool. They recover quicker. They have less time in the hospital. Like it's pretty astounding. They currently have a crowdfunding campaign, like so many other people do, to try and get more of these programs launched in other in other hospitals to see if they can help, you know, reduce the costs all around. Like everybody wins. From what they've found out so far. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. An easy one to find if you're looking for something like that is Child's Play. That's the Penny Arcade driven.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another good source here, closer to home. So the group that is is doing it right now is in Switzerland and Belgium, and they also I think have some work, starting to do some work in France as well. So they're on the European side. If you're over there and
which side?
That's really interesting to you, or you even if you're over here and you want to help promote health across the globe, let's all kick in and help out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tree of Life is a group exhibition that celebrates the rich cultural diversity and assorted art styles found at Creativity Explored. The title of the show references the universal image of the Tree of Life, which manifests in folklore, mythology, and world religions. The Tree of Life is globally known by many different names, for example, the Cosmic Tree, the Holy Tree, the Bodhi Tree, and the Tree of Enlightenment. A powerful symbol of growth and unity, trees of all varieties depicted in a range of media are the source of inspiration for this exhibition. I always have a problem with that word. That explore trees' influences on artistic and cultural life. The last day of the Tree of Life coincides with Earth Day's 45th anniversary on April 22nd, 2015, followed by Arbor Day on April 24th, also 2015. You don't have to wait extra years or anything, so that's good. Plan to celebrate Earth Day and Arbor Day by viewing artwork inspired by the powerful symbol of the tree. For more information, including gallery locations and hours, visit http://www.creativityexplored.org/
Okay, so I think, you know, it's pretty clear that singers have a pretty good chance of wooing the ladies or the men, depending on, you know, when they use their sultry voices. They kind of get that woo going.
Okay.
Well, they may not be the only ones.
Okay.
Oh, my.
According to research...
I'm prepared to be amazed, by the way.
Male mice sing fancy tunes to woo the ladies.
Officially amazed.
Male mice sing different songs in different contexts when courting lady mice, saving their best stuff for females they haven't even met yet.
Man.
That's according
to... I'm just thinking of mice courtesans now.
Yeah. I'm sure that's been in some animated film of some sort.
Probably. I missed it somehow.
Yeah. That's according to new research out of Duke University that documented male mice changing their tunes literally as social contexts changed. And the kicker, the fancy tunes were, perhaps no surprise, a hit with the ladies.
Duke. The news... Mouse science.
Yeah. The news isn't just of interest to fans of singing mice. The findings and further study on what mice can or can't do vocally may have implications for autism spectrum disorders in humans, say the researchers.
Oh, okay.
Mice, quote, sing using what are called ultrasonic vocalizations, high-pitched sounds that escape the human ear. To listen in on them, the researchers used special microphones to record male mice singing in two social contexts. I'm just picturing now as the anime thing, like sitting there, ba-dooch, ba-dooch. Yeah, baby. It's like some kind of Barry, Barry White.
Barry White.
Right, yeah.
Mouse,
like, or Manilow.
Or Manilow. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, both. okay, to record male mice singing in two social contexts, smelling but not seeing a female and interacting with her in person. In the first case, the male was presented with female urine to sniff, but there was no lady in sight for him to woo. So what's a mouse in the mood to do? Sight unseen, the male sang to his intended aloud, complex song defined by the scientists as a series of utterances or syllables, sometimes with a tempo. In the second case, the female was placed in the same container with the male, finally whisker to whisker with the object of his desire. The Romeo mouse sang longer, simpler, quieter songs. The video below, there's a video included in this article, offers a chance to compare the male's vocal chops in both cases. Quote, we think this has something to do with the complex song being like a calling song. And then when he sees the female, he switches to a simpler song in order to save energy to chase and to try to court her at the same time.
Huh.
Ooh, it's like John Mayer mouse.
Yeah.
When all the world changed. Said corresponding author Rich Jarvis, an associated producer of neurobiology at Duke University and a Howard Hughes Medical Institute investigator.
Duke science.
Owens. Meanwhile, the fancy vocal gymnastics went over big with the female mice in the study. Given the choice, the majority preferred to listen to the complex songs. The researchers say this display of different reactions to different songs adds to their conclusion that there is meaning behind the various tunes.
Okay.
Next, the scientists plan to study how particular genes and brain areas play into the songs the mice are singing. If they can figure out what degree mice can learn to modify their songs, they say it could be helpful in the study of autism spectrum disorders, where social communication and brain circuitry that affects learned behavior are impacted.
Hmm.
So there you go. Singing mice may help autism.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that you'd have a way to compare like mice to whales. It's like a lot of the same stuff.
Very true.
And also used in autism research. Meanwhile, whoa, in very scary research.
How
scary is it?
I fear this seriously. Japan's Namiki Laboratory is a little place that they've decided to research and develop robots that can move super fast. Have really fast reflexes.
Are they the ones that did the Rochambeau, the Rock Paper Scissors?
Very
robot.
Well, could, and that sounds like something that they'd be into. So I have no way of confirming that because I do not have the power of the internet in my hand right now. Okay, that's half of a lie.
It's just currently being used right now.
Right. But their also major thing is that they're able to combine crazy cool sensors along with these speedy changes in ways that can, for the most part, outdo humans. So it does make perfect sense for them to create a rock, paper, scissors robot because it would see a human reaction to rock, paper, scissors and beat them immediately. Well, the geniuses in the Namiki Laboratory have decided to start teaching these robots sword fighting.
What could possibly go wrong?
Right. In the grand list of ways that robots will be able to destroy us in the future, this is probably one of my least favorites. I mean, it's very cool, but at some point I feel like we need to do a PSA about, like, stop giving robots more ways to kill humanity. I feel like that might be important. But I'm sure Elon Musk is already on top of that one.
No AI, no AI.
Except in my vehehles.
Yeah,
then it's okay.
A little bit of AI, but not self-aware AI.
Right.
Point of fact, the group that made the rock, paper, scissors robot was the University of Tokyo.
Okay. Well, they have some competition then.
They've gone from scissors to swords.
They're going to have like the rock, paper, scissors robot square off against the, for lack of a better term, not trying to be stereotypical, the samurai robot. Right now, it's not much more than an arm on some wheels. But they have footage of somebody trying to sword fight the thing, and yeah, they have to give up almost immediately.
Whoa.
Because, yeah, it's literally like two steps ahead of them no matter what they do. So, yeah, be afraid. Be very afraid of the future of sword fighting robots.
Well, speaking of things that may kill us in the future, with entertainment, maybe. Steven's
sword fighting entertainment?
I think someone had a sword in this.
Oh, okay.
Steven Spielberg to direct Ready Player One film adaption.
Yes, there is a couple swords in that.
The movie adaption of Ready Player One, Ernest Cline's dystopian sci-fi novel centered on a virtual world steeped in video games and Dungeons & Dragons lore, will be directed by Steven Spielberg, according to a report.
Good old Spiely.
Yeah, this definitely seems right up his alley.
Speely Dan.
Yeah. Klein's 2011 novel is the story of a skilled gamer named Wade Waits, who lives in a dreary future and is obsessed with 1980s popular culture. Wade goes on a virtual treasure quest seeking fame and boundless fortune, as well as an escape from his impoverished life in the stacks.
Mm.
Klein described the basis for Ready Player One's story as, "What if Willy Wonka was a video game maker and he held his contest with the golden ticket inside a video game? What riddles would there be?"
Oh, okay.
But yeah, if you haven't read the book, it's stuffed with a lot of 80s pop culture references and just kind of the tone.
Stacked high.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, there is definitely Pac-Man.
Like,
yeah.
Like so much cordwood.
Yeah, it's like if someone were to fill a warehouse with nothing but 80s references, it would still need a very much bigger warehouse to fill all the 80s references in there.
Yeah.
I might have to work on that entire literacy thing to actually read this.
But yeah, it does seem, I think we've both read the book.
Mm-hmm,
The style of it definitely seems like Spielberg could come up with some.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have some fun with that, I think.
So there's no graphic novel of it yet?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it's still just a novel.
I mean, you can blow through it really quick.
It's a really easy read, but it's also pretty well done. So I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking of references to
The 80s?
80s, sort of. Iron Man was invented in the 70s. It was popular in the 80s. And the exoskeleton is a good guy who has who's calling himself The Hacksmith on YouTube. And his goal is to make a functional Iron Man suit. He is still early stages, but he has made a set of arms which work very much like the exo frame from Elysium with Matt Damon.
And, or Advanced Warfare.
Or Advanced Warfare. I was about to say that.
Okay.
So, and with it, he's not a super small, not a really small guy, but he's currently, he said he's gotten his rig up to lift 170 pounds. So, pretty impressive. And he says if he can find a way to make get a higher capacity, smaller compressor, he probably can actually get it to do even more than that. So
yeah, it'd be interesting. Korean dock workers right now actually have similar setups, and be interesting to do a competition and see which can outdo the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing that makes his work particularly interesting is that it's 100% homebrew. It's like square brace steel and pneumatics and wire and stuff like that. So
cool.
It's pretty cool.
Are you interested in free radio time? KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic@ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
All right. I've got our This Day in History.
Woohoo!
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Hopefully something positive.
Well?
How many people die in this day in history?
Well, in 1598...
Okay, that's a while back.
Going back a
Nobody little... died back then.
Ever.
The Edict of Nantes gave religious tolerance to the Huguenots in France.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
Tolerance. That's good.
And Huguenots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In 1742, Handel's Messiah was first publicly performed in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay.
Are we still positive? Mm-hmm. Still?
That's...
Okay.
Right. Nobody died. well, I mean, at that moment.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah. Somebody probably died at that moment.
Speaking,
but we're not talking about that at this moment.
True.
Okay.
And then we jump to the 60s, 1964.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sydney,
it's a big jump.
Yeah. Sidney Poitier became the first African-American to win the Academy Award for Best Actor.
There you go.
Yeah.
For which movie, or does it say?
I think it's something to dinner. Who's coming to dinner?
I believe is what that is.
That sounds about right.
And then in 1970, Apollo 13 announced, "Houston, we've got a problem," when an oxygen tank burst on the way to the moon. So that was bad. But then
it worked out.
They made it work,
right? Because Tom Hanks was there.
Yeah. In 1975. Civil war began in Lebanon when gunmen killed four Christian philanthropists who retaliated by killing 27 Palestinians.
Okay. So, well, we're getting into more death.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
It's bound to happen in history.
It's true.
Okay.
It's true.
Okay. The next one's going to be positive.
1997, Tiger Woods became the youngest person to win the Masters tournament. And the first of African descent to win a major golf title.
There you go.
And then, you know, actually going off that, I think.
Yes.
I heard.
Therefore you am.
I don't know if it was the Masters. Some, like, 21-year-old just won some big major golf tournament thing.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really follow sports. I just heard it on the radio. So.
I feel bad because I actually watch Norm Macdonald on Twitter, and he's always talking about golf, but I've learned to tune it out at this point. So I feel like doubly bad, and like somebody I actually care a little bit more about even probably said something. And no, still golf.
Yeah. Well, and then we have in 2004, some baseball news. Barry Bonds hit his 661st homer, passing Willie Mays to take third place on the lifetime list.
There you go.
And then last in...
Just yesterday.
Or 2012.
Okay.
Not long ago.
Practically yesterday.
How
many people died?
No. This is a name that's going to... Okay. It's a North Korean name.
Okay. They're pretty easy. You got this.
Do it.
Break it down.
Kwang Myung-sung 3.
That sounded really official. That was pretty slick.
A North Korean Earth observation satellite exploded shortly after its launch.
Okay.
The U.S. and other countries called the launch a violation of United Nations Security Council rules.
Okay. So nobody died.
No.
Something blew up, which is always a positive. And nobody died.
Well, I guess.
This is a double whammy.
It's true.
This day in history.
Yeah. And for some good stuff.
For what it's worth, the Oscar that was mentioned it was for Lilies of the Field.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. We were completely off on that one.
Yeah.
No. But when I know he did, he was in the
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Yeah, that was one of his more well known films. That was in 67. So it was a few years after Lilies of the Field, which was 63, when he took the Oscar and he received the Oscar in 64.
After he got that good old Oscar cred.
There you go. Alrighty, well, that's going to do it for the news. We're going to take a music break and then come back with some geek talk for Robots Attack. You're listening to KSCU Santa Clara. We'll be back with more.
Thankfully, it's not mouse music.
That's true, and you wouldn't be able to hear it. You need special microphones. Or maybe it is. That's what happens when you hear dead air. It's not really dead air. It's male mice wooing the lady mice.
It's pure professionalism on our part.
Yep. We just got a couple male mice that were some mics next to them, and they're just singing to the lady mice out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or other male mice, don't want to judge.
Right, yeah.
Singing for their significant other,
right? Mouse,
or ones they haven't met either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the ones they want to meet.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's get to the music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook, and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We are on Geek Talk. This is where we kick back, talk about some stuff we've done, seen, played, all of that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And speaking of all of the above, Caleb, man, you just got back from a trip. I did.
How much jazz was there?
Jazz? I don't know about that. Wasn't
the Autobot?
Oh no, I didn't actually get to meet Jazz. I'm sure he was around, but I didn't see him.
He was short lived. So
yeah.
Oh, you know what? Before you get into our story, sure. Just because I don't want to like interrupt once it gets going, we'll go do our last PSA right. of the night. Tell some people some important information before you get into your important information. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your networks of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right.
So, yes, I was away last week because I was on a trip to Hawaii, specifically
never
to
heard
Maui.
Of it.
Yeah.
Is that someplace cool?
It's pretty, it's actually quite warm, but yes, oh. It is pretty cool.
Okay. I lived there for 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should know.
Man, I'm sorry. My bad.
But
name dropping all over.
The trip was actually really good. It was a bit of a rocky start.
How so?
Well, our flight takes off at 7:45, like they said it would.
AM or PM?
AM.
Okay.
With the idea that we'd be landing in
Greenland. Newfoundland.
Landing on Hawaii, Maui. Around 10:30 or so.
Okay.
And that's still in the morning.
Okay. So you got there a little bit quicker
time
is what you're saying?
Travel.
Well, if you go backwards through time fast enough, you might... no, not at all. Because we
you
ended
Supermaned
up... About two hours in, I noticed that the light changed on the window. And I'm like, wait, that's sort of weird. And then it was an announcement. We were returning back to California. And we
were in open water and then came back?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, apparently there was a one of the air conditioners, there was a malfunction in one of the valves in there, which was needed to be repaired, because if you were to lose the other air conditioner, you would have to land, and if you can't land on open water, it's a safety issue.
They gotta fix that.
Yeah. So we ended up back in Oakland.
The sunny beaches of Oakland.
Yes, right. The sunny beaches of Oakland. It's just like Maui if you don't look outside the windows at all.
That's mean.
I like Oakland a lot, but it's not Maui. That's all I'm saying. And that wouldn't be so...
I prefer it to Maui.
You lie, sir. You lie. And that wasn't terrible. Disappointing, yes, but not terrible. And then we received the news that after being on the ground and off the plane for about another half an 32 hour.
32 hours.
That the pilot had maxed his hours and would not be able to fly for 10 more hours.
What?
So we were sort of stuck until the plane could take off at 9:45 at night.
That's a thing? Oh, man.
Apparently. I'm not saying it's a common thing. I'm just saying that this happened.
There's no more pilots in the world. You could have went door to door in Oakland. Like, can you pilot an airplane?
So I guess So would it not count? Because like, wouldn't the pilot have hit the max? Like while you guys were flying? Like I guess
that's after we sat down and kind of looked at that a little bit harder. Once the shock of being stuck in the airport for that long, like. Finally washed away, we were like, that's a little odd.
How does the math work on that?
I'm not positive about how that all worked, and I'm not trying to judge the airline. It was a holiday weekend. It was, you know, Easter weekend, so I'm sure there was a lot of other stuff going on. It was just strange. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Nah, better get a fresh pilot.
Mm-hmm. But
better get another Timmy.
Once we actually did get to Maui, it was fantastic. We were all there to celebrate my brother and sister-in-law's 10th anniversary.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That's a number.
Mm-hmm.
First time being in Maui?
No, it's my second time being in Maui.
Oh, okay.
First time was on my honeymoon. So
oh, okay, right, right, right.
But yeah, it was great fun. There was at the height of our numbers, our group was 17 people.
What?
That all showed up to.
Oh,
that's,
nice.
I mean, that's including
now you're
kids
just making up numbers
and stuff.
Oh, okay, kids.
But like, grand total was 17 people all going out. So it was pretty exciting for a while. A lot of fun. A lot of family hanging around and good times.
Did you find a nice spot to like dump the kids off and then you could go off and do stuff
safely?
Every so often, yeah.
Well, pools. They can swim and.
The grandmas
was a lifeguard, right?
Kids do that still
at the hotel, right?
Mate,
that's,
I don't know.
They're fine. Yeah. They could just give them a pineapple and they're good for like the whole day.
Just duct tape a couple of pineapples to their arms.
Yeah, just give them an iPad and a pineapple. They're like all set for the whole day. They're fine.
Okay. Coconuts sound better if they float.
But yeah, it worked out well. We were all able to occasionally take turns like passing kids around to let people go off for the little things, but it was just a great big family time. It was a lot of fun, lots and lots of good food. Well, there was no shortage of good food on Maui. I'll say that. Cool. I had one of the single best loco mocos ever.
What is that for people who are not in the know?
For those who don't know, a loco moco is one of the best foods ever.
Dance?
No,
oh, okay.
It's not the local motion.
That's okay. I get those confused all the time.
Mm-hmm. The locomoco is
the locomoco.
I did, and it was delicious. It's a pile of rice with.
That's a good start.
Mm-hmm. And then, typically,
you're Asian. That's why.
And typically, what you on top of that, you put a hamburger patty.
Oh, okay.
Normal, this time we got Kahlua pork. And
okay.
Then you put
a
pair of fried eggs on top of that, and then you drown the whole thing in brown gravy. It is amazing. Yes, if you're sitting there trying to count the calories, just stop right now. you don't eat it because it's low cal. You eat it because it's amazing.
It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Big enough to could you share it, or is it more of an individual?
Most people would probably want to share this because
okay.
It's. I mean,
I, however, did not, is what I'm hearing as opposed.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nah,
you're on vacation.
Yeah. It very nearly defeated, but it was, it is quite the pile of delightful.
Nice.
So, yeah. If you ever get a chance to try one out on the islands or at a nearby Hawaiian barbecue, give it a try. It's quite good.
So would you say
the means? I highly recommend it.
Would you say that was your favorite dish you had there?
It was definitely one of. I also had a soba salad that was really good too at Leilani's at Wheeler's Village in Maui. Lahaina town, just outside of Lahaina. It had like mixed greens and soba noodles and a little bit of grilled beef and very delightfully grilled onions, as in like turned on a grill, so they had like scorch marks on them as opposed to grilled onions from like the caramelized kind. A little bit different.
Okay,
but it was amazing and yeah. Lots of really good food.
Anything crazy happen? Crazy doesn't
with
have
or
to
without
be bad.
Food.
Mm-hmm. We went whale watching. And we saw a group of we saw a little bit a young whale and a mama whale, and the two dudes that were trying to vie for the lady's affection. but the little whale was adorable because it was like practicing breaching and just like frolicking in the water. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing is too cute. It's like swim, 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 fling, swim, 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 fling, and like it would get pretty decently out of the water. Like you would like see the tip of it, like the where his tail like connects to the rest of his body, like that would start to pop out of the water. That's how like much upward motion this little whale would get.
Huh.
And at one point the whale actually turned towards our boat, like oh, I want to go see what that is. Or if you've seen Nemo, you wanted to touch the butt. And then Mama Whale like swung around, and was like, no, we do not touch the butt.
Don't go over there.
Don't do that. Don't mess with them. And so, but it was really cool. And the next day, actually, we saw a couple of whales not too far offshore, just like beating the water with their tails. And we suspected that they were trying to impress somebody with their maleness. That's our suspicion.
Okay. I do that every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Splash your tail in the water.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a tail per se.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there you go. That was it was really cool. And they were saying that this has actually been one of the most active seasons for whales that they've seen in a long time. So,
well, that's good.
The group we went with was called the Pacific Whale Foundation, and they, you know, conservation and awareness group.
Okay.
And they've been helping out, like, kind of track some of the stuff, and like it's been one of the species on the brink of extinction is actually showing really strong numbers and returning. So that's conservation efforts are working, so that's nice. Totally awesome.
Cool.
Now, did you try anything that surprised you that you ended up liking or not liking?
Had taro rolls. Those were new. I haven't had those before.
That
I liked
does
them quite
sound
a bit.
Good.
No, they were quite tasty. Imagine,
don't believe you.
Hawaiian sweet rolls, but with taro flavor, with like taro as one of the flavors.
Not
in there.
Actual tar. Like,
no, not tar, okay. But.
It's close.
it's a root, sort of like a radish or a sweet potato.
Not like radish or sweet potato.
Yes, it is.
Stop it.
It's quite
in shape, perhaps.
AKA like, as in similar to. So it was quite. It was pretty good. I'm not saying that I didn't get a chance to try poi. I missed that particular tray at the luau, but
okay.
Oh, well, maybe next time. Luau was actually really cool too. It was the Royal Lahaina Luau.
Did you get up and dance? Did they let you get up and dance?
I did not get a chance to get up and dance, but my niece and my wife went up to on stage, and so did a close family friend went up there with his little 1-year-old, and they were dancing, and the niece and wife were up there dancing too. They taught them one of the hulas, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it was sort of a tour of the Polynesia, so to speak, because like it wasn't just Hawaiian hula. They also did a little bit of the haka from New Zealand.
Okay.
Which is with the Maori warrior dance, and they did a couple of other more modern and dances. I think there was one from Tahiti and one from I can't remember the other, but they also did a very traditional, several fairly traditional Hawaiian ones as well, and those were actually really, really cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Short. The TLDR of the story is, if. Get yourself to Hawaii. It's a lot of fun. Relax. Enjoy the sand. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the aloha spirit. And, hang loose, brah.
And I assume the weather was pretty rainy and snowing and everything.
Yeah, it was terrible. Actually, I'm wrong. Don't go. It's only 80-some-odd degrees pretty much every day. Your worst enemy is the wind, which is still warm, so it's not a really bad thing.
Nice. Well, sounds like you had a good trip.
Very.
That's good. Despite a little bit of hiccup at the beginning, you know, maybe it's better you have the hiccup at the beginning, get it out of the way, and then the rest of the trip.
Yes. If there was a point to have it, that's the better place, because then you can enjoy the rest of it. But yeah, I was like, that was not fun.
Well, speaking of things that were fun, Jason.
Yes.
In our kind of remaining minutes. You got to see not the whole thing, but some of Daredevil.
A decent chunk of the beginning. And yeah, it's as impressive as everybody is making it sound like it is.
Okay.
They made a few choices as far as how to start up the series that
I was kind of nervous about it just because I was watching it with my father, who's not like a comic book person whatsoever.
Okay.
And so I could tell like there were certain things that were completely losing him. But all of the rest of it is so strong that it ends up kind of overshadowing the things that would end up alienating people, it seems like. And okay. So I think that's why it's ended up with such ungodly high ratings on the Netflix service. I mentioned to you guys earlier that you can, last time I checked, if you look at the stars for how many stars it's rated, you can barely see any little shaft of light behind the fifth star. But
impressive.
I don't know if that's changed in the last like 24 hours, but yeah, it was pretty impressive to see. A lot of people have talked about one of the fight scenes in the second episode, and it's, to me, it was technically like really good, but it didn't do as much for me as for a lot of people, it seemed like.
Oh, okay.
So mostly I'm trying to knock down your guys' expectations. Everybody will be like, oh, what was that guy talking about? That was pure heaven with punches.
Pure heaven with punches.
Right.
Nice. And I think that is a good note.
That's a good turn to first. You have to remember that one.
Yeah. And as... since I didn't get a chance to watch it, nor Caleb, since not Caleb was in Maui,
yes,
we'll probably end up talking about the series more as we all watch it and finish it and whatnot. But that's going to do it for today / tonight's Robots Attack. Hopefully you had a wonderful evening. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. We will be back next Monday from 7 to 9 here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. And of course, it's never too late to participate.
You can do that on facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Like our page, tell your friends about it, spread the word, and leave comments, story suggestions. If there's something that is in the new releases or something that you've been reading that we think we should highlight, let us know. You can also do that on Twitter, which is twitter.com/robotsattackme. It's all one word. That is where you can send us messages and links and all that good stuff through there. Or if you're a fan of the trusty dusty old email, go to robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you're just thinking, wait a minute, that was just a whole lot of stuff to remember. Just remember one thing. Just one thing.
Just the one thing. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got my pen ready. I've got my
robotsattack.me.
Okay. That's easy.
Yes, very easy, and it has links to all the things we have discussed when we post up our audio of the show for later consumption. You can find it there. You can also leave comments. You can we have links to all of the aforementioned social media and email. So hit us up. Let us know what you think about the stuff we're talking about or things you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't be irate. Make it a date.
And I think
it's never too late to participate.
There you go. I like it. And I think the Big Wow Comic Fest in San Jose is happening, I don't know if it's this weekend or next weekend, very soon. So if you're going to that, hit us up. Let us know. Send us pictures, all that jazz.
Yeah. I want to know precisely how family friendly it is. Because that was apparently a theme this year, so I want to find out the level of family friendliness. I want to know exactly how many Kill la Kill costumes show up at that.
So. It is going to be, it's April 18th and 19th.
All right.
So this upcoming weekend.
That's this upcoming weekend. If you happen to be going, shoot us some tweets, some Facebooks, post some pictures.
Yeah.
Love to spread the word.
Yeah.
All right.
Check it out.
All right. That's going to do it for Robots Attack. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.